Are you struggling to get a good night's sleep? Look no further than Parkway Sleep. For 20 years, we have been your locally owned and operated sleep center.
I'm Brandon Gigling, president of Parkway Sleep Health Centers. Did you know that people are waiting a staggering 6 to 8 months for a sleep study at other sleep labs? At Parkway, we understand the importance of your sleep needs. That's why we offer openings within weeks, not months, saving you time.
Don't let sleepless nights take over your life. Visit us today at parkwaysleep.com. Parkway Sleep Health Centers. Sound sleep, sound health.
Here we are, Inside Studio J. My name is Chris Edge from that station. This guy's Jason Adamo. Dude.
Hello.
It's great to have you in here.
Thanks for having me, man.
I feel like we should have done this a long time ago because I've known you for a few years, but I've known of you for, feels like forever. You've been around for a long time.
I have. Yes, definitely. Yeah. Been floating around Raleigh since 03.
How did you get here? Because you're not from here originally, right?
I was living in New York City for a few years. Yeah. And my oldest brother, Chris, who is a teacher here in the Triangle,
yep.
He was getting ready to move to Wake Forest for his first teaching job down here. And I was thinking about moving to L.A. with my then, at the time, girlfriend. And she was saving up money to go to L.A. I was saving up money to go to L.A. And he said, why don't you come down here and save up money? You can live with me rent-free for as long as you need and then go out to L.A.
Yeah.
And then within a couple of months, I was on the now RIP 96 Rock radio station.
Yeah.
And I started playing the Poorhouse and wherever I could get in, Lincoln Theater. And I was like, this could be a cool place to lay down some roots and form a band and start doing the music thing from here.
Were you making music in New York?
I was. I moved up there for an internship at my uncle's recording studio in Brooklyn.
Oh, sweet.
He had a jazz studio, and I asked if I could intern there. And I told my bandmates in Blacksburg, Virginia, where I'm from, where I was born and raised, I'll be back in 3 months. And that was 3 years later, I came back to Blacksburg for a week before I moved to Raleigh. I just fell in love with the city. My parents are from Long Island originally, and I grew up going to the city a lot as a kid. And I always wanted to following the steps of people like Bob Dylan and like playing the subways in the parks, Washington Square Park.
Did you get to do that?
I ended up busking a lot in the subways, especially sometimes in the parks, and really just trying to play as many venues as I could up there and try to establish some sort of songwriting credibility in New York City, which is difficult because there's so many great artists in that city.
Yeah.
But I would play up and down Bleecker Street and try to put on my little shows at Kenny's Castaways and places like that.
You mentioned songwriting, which you've done a lot of. I don't know if people know that you've got a plaque. You've got a platinum album, I guess, right, from the recording industry?
Yes.
From a song you wrote with Brett Eldridge?
Brett Young.
Brett Young, sorry.
Yes, that's right.
Another Brett.
We were just talking about that. Brett Young and I met in Los Angeles. I was out there for like a month in 2011. At the time, we were getting ready to put out Bricks and Mortar with the Jason Adamo Band, and we were looking for a publicist and management to help us really put together a nationwide tour. And I was living in LA and met Brett there. And fast forward to 2013, we became friends in LA. But when we both moved to Nashville right around the same time, we started writing songs together. And then Brett got a record deal. And one of the little songs we wrote called Beautiful Believer was ended up making it to the record, his first album that went double platinum in the States and in Canada. So it's very cool to have just a very small part in a very big record for Brett.
Where'd the song come from? What's the story behind the record?
So we were, like I said, hanging out and having a few whiskeys around town, which is what songwriters do. Seemingly, when you're networking there, you do a lot of drinking. And he said, what do you want to do tonight? I've been invited to go to David Nail's number one hit. He had a number one song, Whatever She's Got. And so in Nashville, we have a number one hit. The publishing company or ASCAP or whoever usually throws a party to celebrate the number one song. David Nail had Whatever She's Got, a song he didn't write. Imagine that in Nashville, there's all these other songwriters writing your songs for you. One of the songwriters got up there, his name was John Knight, and he thanked his wife of 16 years who was always in his corner. So many times in the business he wanted to quit Nashville and the whole scene because he just wasn't finding the success he wanted. And she said, no, you're going to be a hit songwriter one day. And if we have to be poor until then, we'll be poor, but I believe in you. And he looked at her and he called his wife his beautiful believer. And Brett and I were like, oof, we got goosebumps. We're like, that's a story right there. That's a song right there. Let's let's write that. So the very next day, we got together, Brett and I, and Annie Wilgen, another great songwriter in Nashville. We got together, we wrote this story, kind of half made up based on John Knight's story.
Yeah.
Some truth to his actual story that he said in the speech, and the rest was kind of like sprinkled in some made up stuff to finish the song.
Let's talk about songwriting, because you've definitely like to celebrate that. You're doing a show tonight in Cary.
Yes.
That's sold out, by the way. Congratulations.
Thank you.
And you're getting songwriters together.
Yes. One thing that in Nashville, that a lot of times you can either go to Broadway and play a bunch of covers, or you can just play as many as you can, songwriters in the rounds.
Yeah.
It was very new to me in 2013 when I started doing those. When I moved back to Raleigh, I kind of wanted to bring that whole vibe back here with me.
Mm-hmm.
And there's other people who do that around town, and I applaud their efforts. It's great. You get three or four songwriters on stage at the same time. You tell the story behind the song like we just did with Beautiful Believer, and then you perform the song. You take turns.
Yeah.
Tonight, we're actually going to be doing it with eight songwriters, two different sets of four songwriters. Just friends I've made in the industry in the North Carolina area over the last few years, including Britton Buchanan, who was on The Voice a few seasons back.
Yeah.
Eric Hawks, who I've been doing some songwriting with recently. A whole slew of just great talent from North Carolina.
So most folks can't come yet because it's sold out. But you've got a free show you're going to be doing downtown with the Hurricanes.
The Hurricanes Fan Fest on February 17th. Yeah. My entire band will be there with me.
Oh, that's awesome.
Right after the opening remarks, we're going to get it started on the Capitol Plaza stage, right in front of the Capitol building, State Capitol building.
Yeah.
At around 1:45, we'll be there.
Yeah, I think I saw Superchunks headlining that night as well. They're going to be out there,
from Chapel Hill, yes.
Yeah, that'll be good. Good day of live music.
James Dunn, who is on the show with me tonight, he'll be there at FanFest. Adam Lee Decker, a friend of mine who does the national anthem for the Canes a lot.
Which you've also done.
I've done that, yes. That was talking about getting nervous.
How stressful is that?
Woof. Very, very, very
Is it
stressful.
Truly a hard song to sing? I hear that all the time. It's a difficult song to sing. Is it really that hard?
For me, it wasn't difficult to sing, but to remember the lyrics in that moment.
Yeah.
Even though you grow up singing it and knowing it, like you have it memorized since you're a kid. When you hit that ice, first of all, the ice is very cold.
Yeah.
And you're like, whoa, that's different. Oh, wait, I got to remember these lyrics. Oh, there's thousands of people watching.
Yeah.
And it's dead silent because everybody's being so respectful for the national anthem. I just kind of just closed my eyes and got through it. But I think I like to think I did a pretty decent job. But in that moment, I couldn't tell you if it was good or not. I was just kind of blacked out.
Wow. Well, it'll be fun to see out at the fan festival that they're doing on the
definitely.
17th.
We're looking forward to that. It's going to be fun.
And a thank you, because you're one of the first bands to ever play that music fest.
Oh, yes.
Year, so it was great having you.
That was a great, great day or weekend. But the day that we were there, it was a little hot. But
a little hot.
But it was perfect temperature for rock and roll.
Yeah, it was.
It was awesome. And then the fact that Doug and I got up there with Delta Ray,
right. That
was a lot of fun.
You made some fans, man.
Oh, thanks, man.
A lot of people asked about you after that performance, both the Delta Ray performance and the second stage.
Very cool. Well, I appreciate you guys for having us
up there. Of course. Great having you here in studio, Jay. Thanks.
Yes, thanks for having me.